Blog Talk Radio.
Your host with the Philosophy Show, and I just did a change of domain. Now you can always visit blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, and it is available. So that's the name of the show, is the Philosophy Show. So made the change there, and that should make it easier to find. And every Wednesday have a philosophy show here that's about a half an hour with your live calls. We can talk about any subject. And anything, any ideas that you want to be explored or refined, or open to friendly debates, and talking about science, relationships, psychology, the news, politics, conspiracies, reviews, etc. Today's show, I decided to name it. I try to name it something interesting each week and maybe talk about that, but feel free to call in about any topic. And so today's episode number 105, I titled it, Should There Be Female Protagonists in Movies Like Star Wars, etc.? And the reason I titled it that is because, as you might be well aware, this December is going to be the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. And, I decided to type in Google, Star Wars rumors and stuff like that to see what possible script plots or leaks there might be. And I guess I'm a little bit of a Star Wars nerd. And there's this website that's StarWars7News.com, and they have every day they post new leaks and pictures from filming and just stuff like that. And just the latest leaks that are in anticipation of the new movies. And then below each article for each day, it's kind of like a blog, but it's professionally done, there's comments that people leave. And so I want to share one of these comments and I guess how I responded. So they, like, here's an example. They had a article on September 17th, just about a week ago, and it was titled Update, It's a Wrap. The Episode 8 filming on Skellig Michael, Rian Johnson takes thanks to locals. And they're talking about Mark Hamill filming on this island that's like in Ireland for the upcoming Star Wars 8. And then they went through the article and then so on. Because in the new Star Wars, there's going to be, who knows? We haven't seen it yet, but it looks like, here's what someone wrote, I love, because there's this, the supposedly the new Luke Skywalker is going to be a female, and her name's an actress called Daisy Ridley. She's playing a character called Rey, I think, R-E-Y, and so someone wrote, I love the comment stating that Daisy is playing the lead role. And then someone responded to that, well, this is only good news if you agree with a female being a Jedi, which they don't. And reason being is that even though Star Wars takes place in a fictional universe, there still needs to be a great deal of reality mixed in to include the viewer what's called the suspension of disbelief, i.e. make them believe what they're seeing is real. Well, it's fairly well understood that women in real life aren't now nor ever have been great, quote-unquote, great warriors. As a result, a female Jedi will come off as unrealistic and will cause viewers to not be drawn into the film as they otherwise would have been with a traditional male lead. But this is a consequence of shameless pandering to feminists by Disney, and Force Awakens won't be the first time that film studios have tried selling the warrior woman to mass audiences. And with the possible exception of Sigourney Weaver and Alien, these attempts have always failed. Audiences have always rejected the warrior woman concept. So given this precedent, color me more than a little skeptical about how audiences, particularly those in conservative countries in the far Russia, China, where we see The Force Awakens. And okay, and then other people have responded criticizing that. And I actually created a Discuss account, because that's the only way you can comment on these, unless you sign with your Facebook or Twitter. So I could comment back to them. And actually named my Discuss objective. But here's how I responded to that. So I put here, I don't want to throw your point away as non-significant, because I do think there are others who may feel the same, and I think that we all have a subconscious opinions that might be worth rethinking from time to time. However, think about this, and I made 5 points in response to that. It is the individual that matters. Personally, I think Rey seems to fit the part, and I'm sure there will be more heroes and villains, etc., from both the genders, etc. And there have been a lot of these kind of, or not a lot, but a vocal minority of comments that, you know, have made comments like this. So I'm interjecting, and this is not what I'm writing anymore, but let me just read it, because, yeah, I mean, like Sigourney Weaver, of course, you know, in real life, Joan of Arc, and I'm sure there's many more. So that's the first point I made, that it's the individual that matters. And actually, Daisy Ridley, the Rey character, does seem like a good fit in this role. Now the second point I made was, now, also look in nature. There are badass female warriors, from lions to spiders and etc., where females don't mess around. I have seen a small little bird fend off a hawk at least 5 times its size. Also, you know, I have a male and a female cat. They both are pretty badass. However, the little female cat can jump around like a little Yoda, and is super quick and is all over the place and can dart around. So I can see that. And the third point I made is to tell them, you know, you can write your own Star Wars if you want. I mean, after all, this is a fantasy, so who's to say what others can or cannot do? And then the fourth point I made, which is probably the one of, well, they're all good points, but here's the fourth point. Even the films where it is all male, mostly, that is also usually way exaggerated. For example, Lord of the Rings. To me, there's no way the humans, without that wizard, could have, Gandalf, you know, could have fought off all those orcs. In my humble opinion, or other movies like Rambo, where there's one guy who takes on a whole army, all these films are way highly exaggerated. And so I think many people at times in their lives wish they were a superhero, which is fun, can be. However, perhaps our whole society, now that I think of it, should totally rethink this glorification of violence in the first place. And then the fifth point I made was also what seems to me unrealistic is that in a highly advanced civilization like Star Wars, if we ever survive to get there, where we have hyperspace and high technology or traveling the star system, that you're going to really have immature jerks playing Jedi and Sith, destroying everything in society that has built up and squabbling about baby stuff. That's more unrealistic than wondering, you know, who the, you know, whether it's a, what the gender of the protagonist is. And also, they'll probably live to be hundreds of years old, if not thousands, if they have that high technology. I mean, you know, this movie is supposed to take place 30 years after the Return of the Jedi. And so that's just my opinions, you know, and I think that kind of speaks for itself. So, yeah. So what else is in the news series? So if you want to call in on that, you know, give us a call. You can call us at area code 646-929-1344. And let me see if there's anything else going on here. So usually, you know, if there's, usually have this first topic here, and if there's nothing else, maybe go over some news of the week, conspiracies, advice, reviews, and things like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that, you know, immigration from Syria to like Europe. That's a big thing going on nowadays. And you know, there, Ron Paul said to comment about that. You know, you didn't see all this immigration before we started attacking Syria. That's for sure. And if the politicians don't listen to people in the first place about not going to war, then they're certainly not going to listen about wanting to stop the refugees. So I guess we just have to try harder. Whatever you've been trying, maybe you have to try something different or put forth twice the effort and let the momentum create, because we should end these wars that aren't in our national interests, that are meddling in the affairs of other countries. I mean, we can try to peacefully, I think, or if on our own accord, try to help, you know, people fighting for freedom and encourage them. I mean, sometimes the good intentions can backfire, and so I don't know what's there to do about it. I mean, I guess, you know, if you live over there, you have to call your local, you know, representative and voice your opinion and possibly protest. And but you know, in the Middle East, like in Europe after World War II, like you could say World War I, after World War I ended in the early part of last century, when the Allies, America, Britain, France, like defeated Germany, you know, they stomped their boot on them so hard and made their economic conditions so bad that you could say that's what caused the rise of Hitler and the Third Reich. You know, it set the condition for that. Because, and then after World War II, when the Allies won, instead of playing that same mistake again, they did the Marshall Plan, you know, where we invested probably billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in today's dollars, and rebuilt a lot of that continent. And if we didn't, I wonder where they would be at this point, but we don't know. And I don't know why we did. I guess whoever Marshall was, the Marshall Plan was named after them, probably had a lot to influence. And I'm sure the ideas were to do the opposite of what happens in World War One, and also to build a bigger buffer against, a stronger buffer against the Soviet Union and its Eastern Bloc countries. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you might have to look up some Cold War and post-World War II and World War II history, but and that probably was a good idea. Same with Japan. I guess MacArthur kind of oversaw the rebuilding of that country. I think, you know, we should either immediately get out of the Middle East, or we should do a Marshall Plan type thing in the countries we have broken there, like Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Libya, and probably Yemen as well. And you know, you can think of it as an investment. We've already and we can think of it as cheaper than future wars as well, because we've spent probably about $20 trillion in those wars. I mean, that's pretty much our whole national debt. I mean, because you have to count the money that's been missing from the Pentagon after an audit or partial audit. You know, they're missing like $10 trillion, and the wars cost about $10 trillion. There's $10 trillion that are totally unaccounted for, at least over the last decade. $10 trillion. We make about $2 trillion a year in collected taxes. And that's now. I mean, 10 years ago, it was probably about $1.5 trillion. That's a lot of money. And that's our whole national budget each year. So get out a house payment, and we shouldn't do that as a nation. We have to pay interest on that. And they don't even generate the money to pay that interest back. But that's another story. So if you have any ideas you want to share, give us a call. And that would definitely prevent an overflow of immigrants. And it'd probably help them be westernized. And they're saying, oh, you know, they're not ready for that. They don't like democracy. Well, you're definitely not treating them as individuals. They did like democracy. In fact, Iran used to have a democratic country till the CIA in the 1950s supported a coup to make it into the type of country it is now. So don't say that, you know, they don't want democracy or a free type of westernized, you know, standards of society. You don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, so they'd be just as ready as Hitler was in Germany. You could say the Germans weren't ready for that. And if we make those same kind of conditions, we should learn from the end of World War One. We're making those kind of conditions, and look what we're creating, ISIS. Yeah, you create, you know, you just demolish a society and go away their economy, and you're going to have the Nazis or ISIS pop up. Big surprise. You do a Marshall Plan, then, you know, you get democracies. And that's just a pretty much a proven fact. I mean, and so that is a proven fact. I mean, I'm just reading history here. And anyways, that's today's show. And I'm sure there's other factors involved in all of that as well. But yeah, let's see if there's any products I might want to review this week. I'm not sure. I would recommend try growing some blueberries. They're good antioxidants. You can feed yourself. It's something, you know, that will create a lot of food you can store it in the freezer, the ones you can't all eat at one time. So I'll help you be more sustainable, help you save money, it's healthy for you, it's fun to do. Buy, if you live in an apartment or small home, you can buy like a big 30-gallon plant pots. You know, get at least like 5 bushes of different varieties, because they do need to cross-pollinate to have the most abundant blueberries. And let's see what else in the news. There's a presidential race going on, and people are saying like Bernie Sanders can't win, or, well, we haven't even had any debates yet. I mean, so let's just chill out on that until the debates. That's the most important part of the whole process. And he's already climbing and leading in the first two states. And honestly, this year I'm voting on base who's the most honest, who's against war, and who's going to prosecute and reform our banking system a little bit, and who's for civil liberties. And you know what? Donald Trump kind of, to me, is proto-fascist a little bit, even though he is doing a lot of good things. He is speaking some truth to power, but he's humiliating power, which I do like. I mean, what's positive about what he's offering as a vision? You know, I mean, I do think some of his buildings are tacky, and I don't know. I don't see him as a unifier, even though that's what he's promoting. Definitely a divider, and rambunctious. And Rand Paul, I feel like he's sold out. I mean, I can't really get, I don't think, if he's not enthusiastic, if he doesn't see the urgency, if he's not like, hey, I'm the only one up here supporting the Constitution, you guys have a choice. I mean, Rome is burning, and if you guys can't see that, you know, then I don't know what else to say. But, I mean, Trump is a demagogue. You know, you have Ben, they're all, you know, there's no one up there who's not going to take us to war, who's going to support privacy. That's what this country was built on. You know, he has to feel that urgency, that enthusiasm, the same way Trump does. I mean, he has to have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and not sell out and just speak from the heart and principle and start interrupting people, and but still be statesmanlike and presidential and diplomatic, and just give many adjectives and, you know, just rebuttals and backing up what he's saying. And then there's Ben Carson, who I think is good in some ways. He's a little dictatorial as well. I mean, wanting to force people to have vaccines. You know, he's so pandering to the right that I don't know if he'll be able to be his own self or be strong enough to stand up to the special interests. I mean, I do think he's a good person. I like some of what he says. And then the rest of them, no, I don't like Carly Fiorina, failed CEO at Hewlett-Packard. She was fired from the job, did such a horrible job. Very fascistic war-type person as well. And Jeb Bush, of course, no more Bushes or Clintons, please. We don't want any dynasties being set in this country, and they're all what's totally wrong about what's everything that's going wrong with the country in the last 40 years. You know, 80% of that is Clinton and Bush. We should never elect another Clinton or Bush again, unless if, you know, maybe they're just totally not related. And you know, there was a Reagan in there and there was an Obama. But besides that, it's Clinton and Bush's. And I think, honestly, the last really good president we had was probably JFK, Carter, maybe, Ford, not too bad. Nixon, even, in some ways, was better, but in some ways, definitely was a crook. And, Reagan, just an airhead, like no control over. He did say tear down this wall, and that was an epic moment for sure. And I do give him credit for that. And he was able to get along with Mikhail Gorbachev. But perma fake smile and really wasn't running his own show. It was George Bush in the background pulling the strings, I think. And the first George W. Bush actually did seem more reasonable in some ways. But, you know, we did get into that war that we shouldn't have. and about Kuwait. I think that was all fixed. And then Clinton, of course, he had the Waco situation, and he got rid of Glass-Steagall, which caused the whole economic situation we're having now with the banks. And he was just a liar, and probably did kill a lot of people. And then you have George W. The W stands for worst, the worst president in U.S. history. Got us into two wars. Afghanistan, you could argue we should have been in there, but we should have gotten right out that first year. And we should have gotten, you know, bin Laden instead of just letting him escape in the hills to Pakistan. And lots of other things. I mean, he screwed up the Medicare thing, not letting us negotiate prices for lower prices for prescriptions. And probably lots of the Patriot Act. I mean, just god awful. That was like a dark ages. Just defeat everything that, you know, making us more like Muslim countries, basically. Should have been called the Muslim Patriot Act, because that is like Sharia law right there, is the Patriot Act. And, yeah, they should all be, you know, I don't know, investigated, the whole 9/11 thing. Then you have Obama, who is just Bush part two, basically, pretty much. I mean, we did, after all, ramp up, re-go into Afghanistan, re-go into, well, I don't know, let ISIS form in Iraq, invade Libya, you know, let Syria go to destruction, reappointed the Patriot Act, in some ways made it stronger. Still bailed out the banks. That's another bad thing George W. Bush started. That's why the Tea Party was created, was those bank bailouts. And no one owns that, and it's not a big group. It's all built with individuals. And so, yeah, we definitely wanted an outsider this year. I don't know. I mean, I don't trust Trump. Really, Rand Paul has been a disappointment, unless he can come back with those suggestions I just made. And other than that, in the Republican field, there's no one. And in the Democratic field, definitely no one. Clinton. I mean, that leaves me with Bernie Sanders. And we already have socialism to the rich. We've given trillions to the military and the financial industry. Trillions. Like, the Federal Reserve has a bigger budget by 10 times than the Congress does. So who has the power of the purse? That's supposed to be our elected representatives that do, because the power of the purse is an ultimate power. Without it, nothing can run. So he's going to look into that a little bit, at least. That is the best choice, the lesser of the evils. And he actually is slightly above just neutral, I think. He's actually good. I don't mind supporting him. I think we should get behind him. He's the most truth teller there is that's running. And he does need our support. And it would be much better to have him. And then, you know, maybe support a third-party candidate. If they do get a certain threshold of votes, they will get more funding 4 years from now. That's a very important point. All right, so we're out of time. Thanks for listening. See you next week. And this is the Philosophy Show, blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. Check out our shows every Wednesday night. Share them, like them, subscribe if you like what you hear. Call in. Talk to you later.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain.